Davey and I, the reason the show is called The Orphanage is because David and I both are adopted.
By different families,
correct. So we have that commonality. And I've had a lot of requests that since we don't get to do that this often, and there's new listeners all the time, and people may not necessarily know our backstories, to maybe revisit those and share the stories with the listeners,
right,
with the P1s. And it's not, you know, being adopted is it happens all the time, but reunions are pretty rare, especially when you're talking about the way it was done back in the day.
Yeah, when it was very cloak and dagger, under lock and key, somewhat shameful almost.
Correct. So I was given up for adoption when I was 10 months old. Prior to that, I'd lived in three different foster homes. And finally, a couple picked me out and was born in Boston and adopted out of an agency in Rhode Island. My father was in the Navy. We moved around a lot, settled in Texas when I was about 8-9 years old. Well, anyway, my adoption was closed. I had no information on who my parents were other than a typed out non-identifying summary, which is about 5 pages long, which kind of described who they were based on the data that was given to them by my mother at the time.
State of Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Commonwealth. And she never told my father that she was pregnant. She was sent off to Boston from a small Connecticut town to basically have the latter part of her pregnancy and birth in a place that would not bring shame to the town and her family, being a good Catholic girl that she was, and very young. My mom was 19 when she was pregnant with me. So fast forward, 39 years later, and I end up finding a loophole that had opened up in Boston or Massachusetts legislation regarding adoption, where I was able to procure my birth certificate with her maiden name, my birth name, her birthplace, and after about 15 minutes online, long story short, I was able to get her work address, work phone number, her work email, her home address, her home phone number, sent an email, reached out. After about a day and a half, she replied, and we agreed that let's see what happens. So we kept it via email, got to know each other, started talking on the phone a little bit. The next thing you know, in a couple months, I'm making a trip up to Massachusetts to meet her for the first time and my half-sister. So I have a younger sister, about 10 years my junior, 11 years my junior. And since it's been great, she's my mother. My adopted mother passed away earlier this year. And even prior to that, you know, meeting this woman, this is my mother. It's like she's always been my mother, and our relationship is incredibly close. And I mean, I call her for advice. I'm very transparent with her. I have no problem. I don't hide things from her. A very, very unique, open dialogue type of mother-son relationship. The update that I have that I don't think I've really brought to the air is, of course, questions came up about my father, my birth father. And I got a name, and over the years, I've, you know, done some sleuthing online and was able to locate an address of where he worked and found out that I have two half-brothers, obviously younger brothers, and sent him a letter or an email. I somehow got his email address. I can't remember exactly how, but sent him an email. He replied back to me and said, look, he had no idea. Now, keep this in mind. No,
he was never told.
Never told. Never told that he had fathered a child out of wedlock. So this was a bombshell for him, and I think it was just one that he wasn't able to handle or didn't want to deal with it. He's got his life. He doesn't want, you know, anything shaken up, and he just basically told me, this is from an email address that will no longer exist after you read this, so no need to reply. Please don't contact my sons, because I had already spoken, like emailed with one of my brothers. And, you know, good luck to you. You know, he wasn't mean.
Right.
Like, it sounds like you've done well. And, but I just don't have any interest in, you know, even if this is true, I don't have any interest in taking this on at this point in my life. So I accepted that. I wasn't looking for anything. And that's the thing about these reunion situations. You have to go into them with very managed expectations and almost lower the bar as low as possible, because more often than not, it's not going to work out the way you fantasize it in your mind.
Right.
So I don't really, I mean, me and my brother still kind of contact each other here and there a couple times a year, but he does want to honor our dad's wishes that we not communicate. But I will get I'll get a birthday email. I'll get a Christmas email. I'll get a like on Facebook or something like that. But our interaction's minimal, but we do stay in touch and let each other know about what's going on in our lives a couple times a year. And hey, if that's the best it gets, I'm fine with that.
Sure. Now, you weren't Dingu on your birth certificate?
My birth name?
Yes.
No, I was supposed to be Joshua.
Really? Son's name?
Yeah, that's why my son...
Have a son named Brett.
That's why he has that name. No, my name was supposed to be Joshua, and I'd known that my whole life, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was part of the non-identifying
Correct.
Information that you had.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So that's kind of, I mean, in a 4-5 minute nutshell, that's my story.
Should I even get into mine? Or
yeah, do it,
do
man.
It later?
No, you can do it in 5 minutes. We'll be fine.
Okay, cool.
The concert calendar's got like 3 bands on it.
Okay, yeah. It is kind of a dead week.
Yeah.
So I have a very similar story. Closed adoption in New York State, Catholic Charities. My mother was 19, and she was sent away to a halfway house for pregnant girls in Syracuse. So that's where I was born. And yeah, she was in a house with, I guess, like 5 or 6 other girls about her same age.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they just kind of live in this dorm until they pop the kid out, and then they go home.
And nobody's the wiser.
Right.
None the wiser.
Oh, she was just at camp.
Yeah.
She got a little fat. We sent her to fat camp.
Pregnancy camp.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I didn't have a 5-pager. I had just like a 1-pager of non-identifying information. My adopted parents always told me that I was adopted.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew all along as well.
Yeah, and it was never a big deal.
Nope.
You know, I never really thought too much about it. And my parents were always supportive. If you want to seek out your birth parents, you know, we'll support you. It's great. So, you know, when you're 18, you can apply to different registries where they, you know, try to match people up by birth date and location, you know, that kind of thing.
I did all those passive registries as well.
Yeah, I did all those passive registries. You know, you can... you know, petition the state, you can petition the agency where you came from, and, you know, all of that went nowhere. But as, you know, the internet grew and there were more and more communities for adoptive families and children of adoption, I ended up finding this one kind of message board. You all right?
No, I'm sorry. It's last night. It's not you.
And so this message board... You could get as granular as just like the county that you were born.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the county that I was born in. And so I just put up a post and just said, you know, I was born on this date, you know, in this county. You know, I gave a little bit of non-identifying information about myself, a little bit of information that I knew. And I just
put it out there.
I just put it out there and didn't think anything of it. And then
did you just write at the top, I'm just going to leave this right here?
No, I didn't. But that's basically what it was. And then, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And it was maybe not even a month later.
Wow.
That I got an email from a woman who said, I think I'm your aunt. She said, you know, I want to put you in touch with my sister. And so I said, OK. And so she put me in touch with her sister, and quick couple of emails back and forth. Confirmed. Yeah, this is my mom.
That's amazing.
And so, you know, we ended up conversing over email, then over the phone. And then I ended up, because she still lived kind of in upstate New York, I ended up going and meeting her. I was going to Manhattan for some reason or another. And so one day while I was in town, she took the train down. Then we met her at Grand Central Station. And we had lunch and we kind of walked around the city and talked, and she had like a photo album that she brought me and kind of a family tree. And, you know, we had a great time, great talk. And that was kind of it for then. And then later on, I asked her, you know, hey, do you, and I do have brothers on that side. Mm-hmm. She had three other sons. So she was unmarried, 19, and she, you know, had a relationship with an older man who was married. And yeah. So it was a little shady.
Is that your dad?
Yeah, that's my dad. Wow. And okay. So she had three boys with her eventual husband. So they're my half-brothers. One of them, the oldest, younger than me, but the oldest of the three, died in a car accident when he was 18.
Wow.
Like he ran off the road and ran into a tree.
Holy crap.
He was evidently the wild child. He was a hellion.
Until you came along.
Right. And so then there are two other brothers. And so I've met one of them, and the other one I hope to meet very soon. And then I asked her, I said, do you know anything about my dad? And she was like, I'm pretty sure I could find him, because they both live kind of where they always lived. And
did
so
he know
she,
that she was pregnant with you?
No, he never knew.
He never knew?
He never knew either. And so she gets in touch with him. And
how much older than her?
He was like 7 years older or something.
So
he was like mid-20s.
Okay, so not like a 50-year-old dude dating a 20-year-old.
No.
Okay.
And so she ends up meeting him, and they talk about it, and she asks him if he would mind being put in touch with me, and he said, you know, if that's what he wants, okay. And actually, his wife was the one who reached out to me.
That's amazing.
I mean, she was the biggest saint. She was like, you know, she's like, I'm sorry that Rich is not being more, proactive in reaching out to you. But I keep telling him that I view you as family, and that he needs to, accept you into his life, and he needs to make up for the mistakes that he made and make it up to you and make it up to her, to my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, it just the completely most magnanimous, attitude that she could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, before I ever got to meet her, she came down with pneumonia and died a couple years ago. But I did meet my dad.
In person?
In person. I met my dad, and I also met three of five siblings on that side.
Good Lord. You got a whole mess of brothers and sisters.
So there are two brothers, a sister, and then two older brothers. I've not yet met the two older brothers. They're both older than me. The sister is...
So your dad had two kids in a marriage before he cheated on his wife with your mom.
Right.
And that's rare that the adoptive kid has older brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is why I've not met those two older brothers, because especially now that their mom has passed and she can't speak for herself, they see my presence as
a reminder
of how their dad wronged their mom and all
that. See
that. So, yeah, it's fine. You know, again, like you said, with your dad and with your half brothers, you know,
this is good as it gets. You don't want to take it.
You don't want to be a thorn in anyone's side. And but my sister is almost my same age.
Mm-hmm.
Like his wife was pregnant the same time that my mom was pregnant. It was very weird. And then I have two younger brothers, and I've hung out with both those guys. One of them, he's a an educator, works for a university up there, and he went to a conference down in San Antonio and met him down there and hung out. So it is one of those things that you never expect, and it's not like the magic elixir that makes you feel whole
or replaces some
injury in your heart that has plagued you your whole life. There's no magical feeling that washes over you, but it is interesting to know where you came from and see what your life might have been like had you not been taken out of that situation and put into another one.
And heck, you don't even know if that would even be the same.
Right.
The coolest thing to me is the physical, the mannerisms,
right,
the connection that you have, because you go through so much of your life not knowing another person that looks like you, or that you have, that has your same characteristics, and kids that aren't adopted, you take that for granted that
right.
you look like your mom or you look partially like your dad.
You may hate your brother and sister, but you do have a lot of DNA in common.
And it's pretty cool. The DNA aspect of it is fascinating, especially when it's not something that I had never known for like 30 some odd years.
Right.
So that was pretty cool, and I still find that pretty fascinating when we do get together.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like you said, if this is as good as it gets, it's great, but it is one of those things that it does kind of build over time, and there's no forcing it. You just kind of take it as it comes.